If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy it is to greet you today on this first Sunday of February as we begin a brand new month of service for Christ. You'll be glad to know that January was the greatest January in the history of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school averaged something like 630 per Sunday for the four Sundays of January. The Lord added to the church. We were privileged to send thousands of dollars to missions around the world, and many wonderful and exciting things happened during the days of January. As we begin a new month, five Sundays in the month of February, we'd like to give you this personal invitation to be with us during this month. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. We would count it a joy to have you and your family come and visit with us today in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church. The motto of our Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school, to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. Our only textbook is the Word of God. We invite you to come today and share in the study of God's Word at 10 o'clock in the Sunday school hour. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. I wonder today, my friend, if you have decided to put Jesus Christ first in your life. Does God have the proper place in your life? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Now, what did Jesus mean by all these other things? Well, He had just spoken of food and clothing and shelter. So what Jesus was really saying was this: if you will put God first, if you will honor God and God's house, God will supply all of your needs. Paul put it this way: "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, God has a bountiful supply. His storehouse is full. There is no energy crisis in heaven. There are no shortages in heaven. There's no panic button in the world above. God has everything, and God wants to distribute all of His wealth among His people. If we'll just give God a chance, and that's all God is asking of you in your life today, God simply wants an opportunity to bless you. If you'll be in the place of blessing, God will bless you. I believe the place of blessing today is in church. The place to be on God's day is in God's house with God's people. Let me encourage you to go to church somewhere today. If you do not have a church home, if you're looking for a place where you can discover a friendly atmosphere, when you can come together with God's people to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, we invite you to come to Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We are looking forward to the construction of our new church building on our property adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School. That's at Loop 820 and Campus Drive. But at this present location today, we would be happy for you to come and visit with us. Remember, we're located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Bring the whole family. Here at Worth Baptist Church, Sunday school is a family affair. Worship is a family affair. Through our city evangelism department, we're reaching out into the city. Our motto is sharing Christ with the city. And not only are we sharing Christ with the city, but we're sharing Christ with the nation through some young churches that we're helping to get started and that we're supporting in their infancy in various parts of the nation today. Not only that, but through our 77 missionary families, we are sharing Christ with the world. So, Worth Baptist Church has a citywide, statewide, nationwide, and worldwide vision. And we would be happy for you to share it with us on this first Sunday of February, 1976, as we meet together for our Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, our morning worship service at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. There are two important dates we would like for you to mark on your calendar. The first is Sunday, March the 7th. On Sunday, March the 7th, Worth Baptist Church will celebrate its 22nd anniversary. We're looking forward to having 1,022 in our Sunday school on anniversary day, Sunday, March the 7th. Mark that date on your calendar and plan to visit with us, particularly on anniversary day. And then another outstanding Sunday will be Sunday, July 4th. That will be our bicentennial God and Country Day. America needs God as never before. And all over America, there are preachers and there are churches that are calling America back to God. And this is what we're doing at Worth Baptist Church. We're beginning it right here in our own church, among our own membership. We're spreading it through our city, and we're helping with other preachers to do the same thing all across the nation. So let me encourage you, during the bicentennial year, to be much in prayer that this will be the year of revival for America. I'm convinced that the only answer to survival is an old-fashioned revival. We are praying for a spiritual awakening, for an old-fashioned revival for America during the bicentennial year. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we are designating the entire year as a year of harvest. Our summer season is just ahead of us, and summertime will be revival time at Worth Baptist Church. So we trust that you'll plan to pray with us during these days that God will send revival to America. I can think of no better place for that revival to begin than right here in the city of Fort Worth. We have a tremendous city. It's a great place to live. And I hope that you'll pray for our city government. And let's pray that God will begin a bicentennial revival right here in the city of Fort Worth. In the meanwhile, we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Just a card or a letter this week, a word of encouragement concerning the broadcast. If it is a blessing to you, if it blesses your home and your life, let us hear from you this week. Remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas, 76119. We shall look forward to hearing from you this week. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Man, Where Did He Come From and Where Is He Going? I shall read from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. But before I read the scripture, as always, I'd like for you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee that Thou hast brought our nation to its bicentennial year. We thank Thee that Thou hast preserved America. We pray today for revival in our nation. We pray that that revival might begin in the city of Fort Worth. May the bicentennial year be a year of revival for our country. Bless our city. Bless our city government. Bless all the citizens of our great community. And Heavenly Father, we ask today, especially for our senior citizens, those who are out of touch with reality, many of them, those who are unable physically to be out in public worship, and those who have emotional problems, and those who have sin problems, wherever they are, whatever their age today, some who visit in our city on this Sunday. May this broadcast be a blessing to them. Some who are listening for the very first time. Some who are driving across the city. I pray today that this message and this broadcast would be used of Christ by the Holy Spirit to bring men to Thee. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in the book of Genesis chapter 1 at verse 26, "And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Who is man? Where did man come from? And where is man going? As long as man can remember, he has been interested in himself. The ancient philosophers built their system of thought around what they thought man was. However, it was not until about 100 years ago that man really began to study himself. This came along with the advent of the science known as psychology. Now, many years before psychology, man studied himself. Man has always been interested in the basic, fundamental questions about himself. In the study of anthropology, for example, which is the study of the total man, his culture, his backgrounds, his mores, all of these things included, man has been interested in where he came from, why he is here upon the earth, and where he is going. Now, if we want the answers to all of these questions, we must turn to the Word of God, not to the Word of philosophers, not to the Word of scientists, though these are good in their place, but we must turn to the only book of revealed truth, the book of God, the book of divine revelation, and this is the Bible. You see, man has asked himself for many thousands of years and is asking now, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Perhaps today you're asking some of those questions, and I'm going to direct your attention to the Word of God to find the answer. Basically, in this message, we're going to deal with three things about man. We're going to see, first of all, man's creation. Second, we're going to talk about man's fall. And third, we're going to talk about man's destiny. Now let's look at the creation for a moment. We believe the Genesis account of the creation. We just read a moment ago how that God created man in His own likeness and in His own image. Now there are many ideas, there are many theories as to how man began and how the earth began and how creation came into existence. Let me share just one absurd idea with you. When Moses, the man of God, who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, the great deliverer of Israel, when he was in Egypt, he attended the universities in Egypt and was educated in Pharaoh's household and in Pharaoh's court. In the university in Egypt, Moses was taught that there was once upon a time a great cosmic egg, and that the temperature of the atmosphere got to the point where the egg cracked open and out fell all the universe and all creation. Well, I can imagine that Moses would have been about the first one to raise his hand in the university class and say to the professor, "Where did the egg come from?" Now, my friend, when Moses sat down to write the book of Genesis, he discounted all of his learning in Egypt, all of the wisdom of the professors of the university in Egypt, and mentioned nothing about a cosmic egg, but simply wrote Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God." And then he wrote what I've read already to you in my text, where God said, "Let us," speaking of Himself and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the thrice holy God, the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, "let us make man in our own image." Now, God is the Creator. God created man in His own likeness and in His own image. Now, the terms likeness and image do not refer to physical characteristics. God is not physical, but rather spiritual. Jesus said in John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." So, the terms likeness and image are moral terms. They speak of moral attributes. They speak of moral characteristics, spiritual characteristics, such as intellect, will, emotion, and personality. These terms mean that man, like God, is a person, a being who has intellect, who has will, who has personality. These terms mean that man is made in a triune form, like God is a triune God. Paul underscores this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where he prays that the whole body and the whole soul and the whole spirit of man would be sanctified. So, as God is a triune being, even so man is a triune being. Listen, first, man with his spirit is God conscious. Man with his soul, in the second place, is self-conscious. And third, man with his body is world-conscious. So, as a triune being, man is conscious of God, man is conscious of himself, and man is conscious of the world about him. So, the Genesis account of creation, by the divine act of God, refutes all the theories, such as the theory of evolution, and sets forth in simple language the origin of man. I repeat, we believe the Genesis account that God created man in His own likeness and in His own image. Secondly, we deal with man's fall. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the account of the fall of man, which came about by a voluntary act of man's will in disobeying God. Man was placed in the Garden of Eden. Man was placed there with a choice of good or evil. Man chose evil. And consequently, man, Adam, our representative, fell from the original state of innocency. As a result of the fall, we point out three things. Number one, as a result of the fall, death entered into the human race. We read in Romans chapter 5 at verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore, as by one man," that is Adam, "wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So as a result of Adam's fall, death entered the human race. We speak of physical death. We know that man has a physical death, but then something far more important is man's spiritual death. Man died spiritually the moment he disobeyed God. And not only that, there's an eternal death. Dying and yet never dead. John speaks of it in the Revelation, where that whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, not burned up like a piece of paper, but eternally, forever, burning in a lake of fire. An unending death, dying and yet never dead. So the first result of man's sin was the fact that death entered the human family. The second result of the fall, all men are made sinners. We just read a moment ago in Romans 5:12, all have sinned. We read in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet," your sins, my friend, you are a sinner. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." We read in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep, you, all we like sheep, me, all we like sheep, all of us, you and I, all humankind, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So by man's fall, not only did death enter the human race, but sin entered the human race. And then in the third place, as a result of man's fall, all of creation suffered the curse of God. God's judgment is upon all of creation. Vegetation, animal life, human life, all of creation, according to Romans 8:21 through 23, all of creation suffers at the judgment hand of God because of man's disobedience and man's fall. So, through the fall of man, all of us have been made sinners, and all the world today lies under a curse, and all the world today has been infested with death. The third thing about man is man's destiny. Where is man going? Where are you going, my friend? The Bible tells us that there are but two places that you can go for eternity. Let's consider them for just a moment. First, there's hell, a lake of fire that Jesus said burns forever and ever and ever. All who were not found written in the book of life, John says in the Revelation, will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, let me ask you this question. Is your name written in the book of life? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, my friend, your destiny is an eternal lake of fire without God and without hope. On the other hand, Jesus talks about heaven. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. There is a place called heaven, just as real as any city in the world. Heaven is real, and all whose names are on the Lamb's Book of Life, all who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, all who have been born again into the family of God, will be in heaven forever. So there are two destinies. One, hell for all unbelievers, and two, heaven for all believers. Let me ask you, what are you today? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you believed on Him? Is Christ your Redeemer, your Lord, your Master, your Savior? If not, my friend, I trust that right now by your radio that you would pray the sinner's prayer that will change your destiny. And that prayer is this: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The moment you pray that prayer, God will save you and your destiny will be heaven. I trust that you'll do it right now by your radio. Wherever you are, put your faith in Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. You came from God. Where you go depends upon your relationship to God. And the only way you can be in the right relationship to God is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. As we leave the broadcast today, once again, I take this opportunity to invite you to come and share with us the good things of the Lord as we share Christ in our Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, our morning worship service at 11, and our evening worship service at 7. May the Lord bless you as you visit with us today. And until next Lord's Day, at this same time by radio, we wish you well. And the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.